I just returned last night after being away from the diocese for 2 weeks. We had a week of meetings in Baltimore for all the Catholic bishops of the United States, around 300 gathered. And before that week-long meeting, I was invited to go to New Mexico, to the Monastery of Christ in the Desert, to give a retreat to 40 Benedictine monks. I accepted because I had read about this monastery in USA Today, you know, your magazine, your newspaper. Ancient monks made their living by copying books, right, and illuminating manuscripts. These monks do the same thing, but on computer, and they design websites using calligraphy. And they were the ones in the whole world chosen by the Vatican to design the Vatican's website. But the reason I went was the monastery is so beautiful and so isolated. It's 125 miles straight out of Albuquerque, driving straight into the desert, away from every city and village. And when the abbot picked me up, at the airport, we drove for 3 hours in the desert, 3 solid hours away from everything. Then when we turned off the paved state highway, it was another half hour, 13-mile drive on a dirt road to get to the abbey. There's no electricity. They make their own electricity from the sun using solar panels. They take water from the river and purify it themselves. They grow most of their own vegetables and food. It's an austere life. They get up at 3:30 in the morning, begin prayer in the church at 4 a.m. At that time, in the middle of the desert, the temperature is below freezing, then it warms up during the day. After prayers and mass, we went in silence to the refectory to have our breakfast. And you're not allowed to speak, but they had these little thermoses of thing. And I said to the brother next to me, which one is coffee? And he said, none of them. It's just hot water. There's instant over there if you need it. And when I went to pour milk on my Rice Krispies, it was powdered milk. What they have is austere. I gave 10 conferences to the monks, met with 16 of them one-on-one for individual conferences. But one of the highlights of the week was the abbot said, we want to arrange for you to go horseback riding up on the mountains around here. And a monk met me at the horse corral. His name was Father John. He had a big beard, cowboy boots, jeans, but the monastic habit with the hood and everything. And we went for 3 hours. I've never ridden a horse crossing a river like you see on Bonanza, you know, and all that, but we did. This monk, Father John, that took me horseback riding, he was a hermit. So at the abbey, they have 40 monks living in the monastery, but they have a couple of priests who live by themselves a few miles distance. Each guy has his own little hermitage. It's kind of between a cottage and a shed, one room. So as we're horseback riding, he showed me everything around. Then we came back and he said, would you like to visit my hermitage? I've been a Jesuit for 43 years. I've been a priest for 31 years. I had never met a hermit or visited a hermitage. So he showed me his one-room hermitage. Again, no electricity, a little wood stove, and in an alcove he had an altar with the Blessed Sacrament, the crucifix, an image of Mary, and there he prayed and said Mass every day. This man was extraordinary. He had his beard and looked like he was in his late 40s. I said, Father John, whatever possessed you not only to become a monk, but to become a hermit? And he said, Bishop, I felt our Lord saying to me, Jesus himself saying to me, I need some friends. I need some friends. I need some friends just for me. Jesus said to me, I know I have friends that are running parishes. I have friends that are teaching school. I have friends that are doing many good things. But this hermit told me, Jesus said to him, I need some friends just for me. And he said, that's what I am. I am here. At the end of the day, as the sun goes down, Jesus asks me, how is my day going? And I tell him. And then I ask Jesus, how is your day, Lord? That is the purpose of the Holy Year of Mercy. Jesus has been inviting us to become his friends. That's why the first emphasis of the Holy Year of Mercy is not works, although works are good. But the first emphasis by Pope Francis, he wanted this Holy Year of Mercy to emphasize reconciliation. Reconciliation with the Father. That's why the Pope went to confession himself publicly in St. Peter's and went and knelt in the confessional and everyone could see it. And then that's why he himself went into the confessional and took his turn hearing confession. The sacrament of reconciliation has come first. And so it's been here in this church. We have confession available every day. We've had lines. We've had many people who've been away for a long time come back to the Lord. It's like Thanksgiving. You know, people say, well, why do I have to go to confession? Why can't I just say, Lord, I'm sorry, and then just come up to communion? Well, it's like Thanksgiving. Say if you have a member of your family who's been estranged from the family. Maybe there was an argument years ago. Maybe someone has not been on speaking terms with you or the family. Maybe someone kind of ran away, went their own way. And they've been away for years. And then they show up for Thanksgiving. Well, they just don't come in the house and bypass everybody and go sit down at the table and start eating. No. They say something first. There's a reconciliation before eating the Thanksgiving meal. And it's the same with us. If we've been away, maybe sometimes for years, from Christ and the church, we go in the confessional and we patch it up with our Lord. And then we can approach his table here for Holy Communion. Our friendship and reconciliation with Jesus is meant to continue for the rest of our lives. It doesn't end with the closing of this Holy Year of Mercy. But we got to do our part to keep a friendship, the friendship with Jesus, alive and active. How do we do that? One, participate in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass and the Sacrament of Confession when we need it. Two, we continue to practice the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. We're lucky to have here at Mass this morning those people in our diocese of whom we made videos. We made 14 videos, one for each of the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, to show how in different parts of our diocese those works of mercy are being practiced. How are you doing? I'll read the 7 corporal works of mercy. Feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, shelter the homeless, visit the sick, visit prisoners, bury the dead, give alms to the poor. All of those are organized and carried out by St. Vincent de Paul, Catholic Charities. and religious orders dedicated to the works of mercy. The spiritual works of mercy, have you done in the last year? Do any of these seven apply to you? Counsel the doubtful, instruct the ignorant, admonish the sinner, comfort the sorrowful, forgive injuries, bear wrongs patiently, pray for the living and the dead. To help us with the spiritual works of mercy, our diocese has a whole department of faith formation and evangelization. At the end of the Mass, the director, Dr. Margaret Turk, is going to get up here and say, and give us ideas and suggestions how you can plug into those spiritual works of mercy and keep on practicing the gifts of the Holy Year. How does all that make us friends of Jesus? Even out of those 14 things, if you practice just one, it will bring you closer to our Lord and you'll experience his consolation and friendship. A year ago, we filled up this cathedral with 1,200 eighth graders. Okay, they were seated with their school wearing their eighth grade uniforms, you know, from the Catholic schools. And as the Holy Year of Mercy began, I challenged all 1,000 eighth graders to go home to their school, speak with their teacher, and decide what they were going to do to participate in the Holy Year of Mercy. And then I asked them to write me a letter and tell me what they were doing. So I got all these letters from all the schools. Now, one student wrote and said, "Dear Bishop, my class and I, each week, we made 200 sandwiches for the homeless, and then we distributed them to the poor." And this child said, "You know, after I did that the first time, made the sandwiches and looked the person in the eye and gave them their sandwich, Bishop, when I walked home from school that day, I felt lighter than a feather." That child received a grace, a consolation, we call it in the spiritual life, a gift of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because she made those sandwiches for Jesus. It was Jesus that she fed when he said, "When I was hungry, you gave me to eat." That child experienced what St. Paul said, "It is now no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." That student, all those eighth grade kids, and then all of us adults and family members, all of us who have participated in the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, become proven friends of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we become participants in Christ's work of redemption, in which today we celebrate in a special way on the feast of Christ the King, when Christ presents to the immensity of the Father's majesty an eternal and universal kingdom, a kingdom of truth and life, a kingdom of holiness and grace, a kingdom of justice, love, and peace.